Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Mr. Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV, coming to you live from the LiveX studios in Midtown Manhattan. Corey, why don't you break it down? Tell us what's on tap today.
Today, we're going to talk and break down the 29-29 tie to the Minnesota Vikings. And get ready for the matchup with Dan Snyder's sorry excuse for a team in Washington. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
a running game.
We got the bad. We got
fourth quarter defense.
We got the ugly. We got
roughing the passer. Really? 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 I can't. Roughing the I mean, I've been on a crusade all week. We'll talk about it later in the show. But the roughing the passer penalty just pissed me off. Something fierce. And everything around it and all the conversation coming off of it, everything about it has made me upset, Banky. How the hell are you?
I'm good. I've got my relax shirt on. That's for myself.
Right.
That's actually
probably
for
more
myself.
For me than anything else.
No, it's actually for myself.
You need to relax?
I left the game, and I was really feeling positive because we should have lost that game. We should have won that game.
We won the game.
They should have won.
They should have lost it.
Then we should have won. Then they should have won.
Right.
And so I felt like, hey, this is good. This is good, right? And every day since, I've just gotten this feeling of, you know.
Felt more like an L?
Yeah, regret. Regret and remorse seeping in.
Regret and remorse. Let's hope the epitaph in the 2018 season, you know, when the NFL Films put out their year in review video.
Regret.
The Green Bay Packers. Regret and remorse.
Part two.
So I hope that's not it. So how was the game? How was it? It was warm.
Great.
It was hot.
It was great.
Yeah?
I liked it.
Have a good time?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was hot. Row 60, that's the best row. It's one of the best rows in the stadium.
So you say.
It really is. I've been to a lot of them.
Well, for anyone who was watching here live, you saw the little video that Corey took with his iPhone of the 100 seasons flag being passed all around the bowl. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, they did it on the other side, too. I do believe my side won, so just putting that out there.
There was a contest?
Yeah, it was like who gets it faster
to the end. Right,
so
got to gamify everything. I understand.
That was fun. I was happy you finally retweeted that. So, you know, there's that.
I love that they have to put like stupid like who can make the flag go faster games for the gold package crowd. I mean, you know, you can't have like
it's
Milwaukee crowd like without like some dead air. So you got to like invent things to keep them. Ooh, yeah, that's right. Nagler's going after the Milwaukee people. I love it.
Look,
I know that it gets them. It just gets them.
It's
so upset when
it's very rare that the Packers introduce new things. And you never know if it's going to be the Tundra line or G-Force or if it's going to be 100 years, a beautiful logo, and, you know, a little crowd participation. I would do that flag every quarter if it meant I didn't have to deal with the Tundra line ever.
I know you're not a fan of the Tundra line.
The Tundra line.
But for those of us who are not accomplished percussionists like yourself, the Tundra line's okay. I enjoy a good Tundra line. You, however, want to burn them with fire.
No, I just, you know the movie Drumline?
I am familiar with it. Can't say I've ever seen it.
It's not a bad movie, actually. But it's about a school that's actually good at that.
Right.
And they do other things, but like their percussion team's good.
Right.
You know, I think my biggest problem with the Tundra line is lack of diversity. There have been years where there's not one single person who is not Caucasian.
Right.
And this year, I think they have one person who's not Caucasian.
Not Caucasian. Right.
And so it's just, you know, really like, you know, it's a
I'm
little bit.
It.
It's a little bit.
It. You're trying to bait me.
It's a little bit like
you're trying to bait
it's
me.
It's a little bit NASCAR-ish to me.
All right. It's time to talk some news. There's a little bit of news.
Dear.
Little Packers news today.
There was.
So let's get on it. I know you weren't paying attention.
No,
but
I wasn't.
Because that's my game.
No, I did. Somebody, Kevin King's out. I knew that.
Okay. Well, you're jumping ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Poor control room.
It was the third
Don't
thing.
Listen to him. Listen to me. There's no practice today. A break from the norm. You know, get the email where it says, you know, what the media availability is, and it said Mike McCarthy press conference, and then there was no practice. And I was like, well, clearly that's a mistake. But it wasn't a mistake. There was literally no practice today. Very unusual for a Wednesday in season. But Mike McCarthy at his press conference said, you know, they had a walkthrough, but they went, they went by the numbers. They were crunching numbers as far as their guys being worn out from a night game and then turning around and having a overtime game in the heat. They tried to take it a little easy on them today. Even though they just had Tuesday off, I guess that wasn't enough. Give them Wednesday off, a little walkthrough.
Yeah, and I will say the team seemed a little winded in overtime.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, the fourth quarter in general.
I mean, it was hot, but it wasn't like Miami.
No, no, that's true.
And I had my Ray Nitschke jersey on, and it goes down to here. And I was,
I love it.
I was barely sweating.
I was fine. I wasn't in pads and playing, but I was fine.
Yeah, I was fine. I mean, I only had like two beers, so I wasn't sweating or anything.
The next piece of news is Josh Jones over there at Packers News weekly show, co-hosting, what do they call it? Clubhouse Live.
Clubhouse Live.
He dropped the little nugget stuff that he expects to play on Sunday, make his season debut in Washington. And, you know, it's funny because I saw a lot of people on Twitter saying, well, does this mean Kentrell Bryce will see less time? I don't think that's what it means. I think it means Jermaine Whitehead will see less time.
Mm.
Whitehead, who's seen plenty of snaps here through the first 2 weeks. And then finally,
are we going to talk about Kentrell Bryce anytime?
We will.
Oh, okay.
The defense.
I didn't see that. Yeah,
a lot of ball game left, Banky.
I didn't see that.
See, last week, we came up short in the content department. That was my fault. This week, we're chock full of content. We got plenty of stuff.
Yeah, we had a lot of complaints last week.
Don't try and jump ahead. There's a lot to get to. I know it's a way too much to expect for you to read the script prior to the show.
Mm.
So just trust me. That
I'm reading it now.
I know, great. Awesome. Thanks a lot.
I wrote some notes.
But prior to those notes being read, my favorite is Banky comes up to me today and says, look, I made some notes during the game.
During the game.
And literally, he has two notes on his notes app on his iPhone. I'm very impressed. Like, in the middle of Lambeau,
it's really hard.
The heat, the drama of the game, Banky is like, Davante Adams needs to dot, dot, dot. So that's good.
I was proud of myself. And then I forgot I was doing it because I was watching the game.
You made the first two notes.
Now, I was trying to get the people around me up for defense because, you know, Lambeau,
yeah.
You know how it is.
And finally, the final new piece of news, Corey Banky dropping it already early on, screwing up our lower thirds. But Kevin King most likely will not play on Sunday.
This is really upsetting.
Mike McCarthy saying he doesn't have any long-term concerns, but he'll be hard-pressed to play on Sunday. And after Devon House's performance against the Vikings,
ouch.
That is concerning.
It is concerning. You know, it's like deja vu, right?
A little bit.
It's like deja vu.
A little bit. I will say that fourth quarter collapse, we got rid of Dom Capers because of those, and there was another one. Makes you wonder. I mean, the Devon House thing really kind of pissed me off.
They never really shored up the secondary, right? Like,
well, they did. Okay, here's the idea.
Not really.
Yes. No. Here's the thing. The talent level has increased. You cannot deny that. We talked about it in the summer. We talked about it week one.
But has the talent
noticeable?
But has the talent level increased 20% or has it increased 40%?
I would say
it's
a lot of percent.
I would say it's like somewhere in like 15%.
No, that's not the point. To me, the point is moving on, as I said, all offseason and all training camp, moving on from players like Devon House, who have shown repeatedly they cannot be counted on to be consistent performers. If the goal is to field a championship defense, as Mike McCarthy keeps telling us that's the goal, you cannot do things like trade away a Lindsey Pipkins, who has shown immense promise.
Yeah.
Yes, he's inconsistent, but he's young. He's growing. He's shown talent. He's shown ability. In favor of holding on to Devon House, who has let you down time and time and time again, and did so yet again on Sunday afternoon.
Well, yeah, he did.
And look, the play Kentrell Bryce should be over the top. I understand all that, but let's not split hairs here. Devon House had terrible coverage to boot.
Yes, he did. But you know the Kentrell Bryce play where he's trying to not hit anyone.
Oh.
Like,
Thielen touchdown.
So, up until this year,
right,
when you're like, let him play football. We're changing football. We're changing all this stuff. I've kind of been like, you know what? You got to make the game safer, all this stuff, right? But, like, that play, like, take roughing the passer, right?
We'll talk about that later.
Take Mike Daniels sack.
We'll definitely talk about that.
That should have just been a sack, right?
Yep.
And then take that Kentrell Bryce play. Like, that is the – those three plays are where we are in the NFL right now.
Correct. Yep. We're not allowed – you're not allowed to make plays on defense. How do you play? We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this.
No, but the Kentrell Bryce play especially, because I don't understand how he doesn't – like, play the ball.
Yes, play the ball. 1,000,000,000%. It's your ball. Go get it. Go get the ball. The thing that's so maddening about it is there are two distinct angles that Fox has of that play that show he's tracking the football.
Yeah.
As soon as it leaves Cousins' hands, he's tracking the football.
Yeah.
Go get it. It's your ball.
Yeah, when two
You have as much right to that football as anyone else in that football.
When two baseball outfielders,
right?
They're going for the ball. Sometimes they hit each other. One person comes up with the ball. Yeah. Like,
Sometimes they hit each other, and it's bad news, like a clown car.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So anyway, we're getting off track because we're talking about the defense, and right now we're supposed to be talking about the offense. Let's talk about the offense, and let's talk about, I think, the A number one complaint that I got from Packers fans coming off of that game, talking about strictly offensively.
Non-trolls?
Non-trolly.
Okay.
Like, legit complaints.
Great.
A complaint that I understand and I totally get, and I shared the frustration after the game. The offensive approach by Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, because it's always a partnership, after the Ha Ha Clinton Dix interception, which everyone, I think, in that stadium thought, that's ballgame.
Oh, I did.
That's ballgame.
I did. And I think Wayne Larrabee called the dagger.
Did he really? Oh, I didn't know.
I think he called the dagger after the Ha Ha pick.
Ooh, that's tough. They run the ball. It's a 2-minute warning. Fine. The play to Davante Adams on the rollout, that should have been a touchdown. Davante Adams has to hold on to that ball. If Davante Adams, and I talked about it all this week on Packers Daily Chat, if Davante Adams is telling the Fox broadcast crew in production meetings, I want to be viewed as a top five wide receiver in the NFL. I feel I'm not getting the respect I deserve. It is my mission to become recognized as a top five wide receiver in the NFL. Let me tell you, buddy, you need to catch that football.
Yeah.
You can't let Kendricks get it out from under you. That's a great throw from Rodgers to fit it in there. That's your play. That's the play that is going to, if you make that play, that's the play that people are going to point to and go, that's a top five wide receiver in the NFL.
Well, and to that, one of my two notes.
Yes, here we go.
Was from the first quarter, the first drive, Devontae had a drop.
Yep.
The moment it happened,
I said, there it is. That's them getting behind the sticks, and this is where it all kind of falls apart. And it did.
I wanted to say two things. So one, what's amazing about it, I'm not trying to harp on Devontae with that,
right.
But it's one of these things where that drop stopped that drive, right? And that's all it takes. Like, that's the thing. You know, I've been seeing some people on Twitter talking about, you know, Jordy Nelson. This was my gripe last year about Jordy Nelson was right. Like, everybody's like, oh, it's a couple drops. It's like, no. Three drops in a game, that's three drives dead.
Yeah.
The second thing I want to say, just to give McCarthy some props,
right.
The way that he handled clock management in the fourth quarter was actually pretty damn amazing.
Right.
Okay. We had a drive that took away 8.5 minutes.
Right.
I counted it.
Right.
And it did. You felt like,
it felt
I
like
really thought
drive.
It was going yes. to do everything we needed to do. I said, look, we've got to have a really long sustained drive. So in some ways we proved that we could do that. Right. And in other ways we proved that, you know,
Same old. Well, the thing is, too, that drive, the one you're talking about right there, it reminded me very specifically of 2 years ago, the very first game when they ran the table was a Monday night game in Philadelphia, where at the end of the game, they needed a long, sustained drive, and they did just that, where they put together an 8.5, 8, 9-minute drive. And that drive that night basically cemented the game. And I thought, while that drive was going on, that's what that drive was going to do against the Vikings. Like, here we go. This is going to seal the deal, so to speak. And then, of course, all hell breaks loose. But that, you know, Devontae, I don't know, man. And then after the drop on the rollout, there's the throw to the front corner of the end zone. And maybe the DB got a finger on it or something to kind of offset the path of the football. But again, that's your ball, man. Go get it.
Yeah.
You want to be a top five wide receiver. Got to catch one of those passes.
But to Devon.
With the game.
Yes.
Being on the line, your ability to put the dagger into your opponent. Got to make that play.
I will say there were three times I literally watched Devontae. I mean, I watched him the whole time. Like, there were a lot of times when I pretty much would just focus on Devontae. That was the matchup, right, for me. Because there's hot read that happens in the third quarter.
Right.
That there's this, he has an amazing catch. And you can see that pretty much it's a hot read. He's going to go to Devontae the whole time.
Right.
You know, drops aside, Devontae had a pretty good game.
Oh, he did. And I hated that he got that ridiculous offensive pass interference.
Oh my goodness.
That was absolutely absurd.
He did it.
That was ticky-tack nonsense. Right?
Why did you have to bring that up? I had to find the stupid angry emoji because right. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was
what?
It was ridiculous. And what killed it, what sucked about that call too, is like they were trying to climb out of, you know, being deep in their own end, and that would have done it.
He didn't even touch him.
Like, great. Well, they both, it's hand fighting. It's hand fighting. You see it every freaking in the NFL. That's what killed me about it. But speaking of wide receivers, can we keep some praise on Geronimo Allison? This cat has come to play in 2018.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, obviously, the A number one play you look at is on special teams.
Yep.
The blocked punt.
Oh, my goodness.
What a great play.
Wow.
Great design by Zook.
When is the last time...
Oh, dear.
You saw the Packers block a punt and catch it in the end zone?
In the end zone. Like, no. That's a rare...
But when's the last time we blocked a punt? Like, 2 years ago? Last year, did we block one?
Montgomery blocked one against the Bengals last year, I want to say.
Okay.
Up the, but it was
you
up
have a
middle.
Better memory a than me. I don't remember.
It was a different design.
And before that, it was like 8 years.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, that...
Yeah, it was a sweet play.
That woke everybody up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, both teams woke up after that. But Geronimo Allison, absolutely. Johnny on the spot. Great route running. And what a smart play on the play that Vikings fans had a legit gripe when they said his knee was down,
yeah.
But he spun up and it kept running and he didn't get called down.
Yeah.
And hell, you know, the Vikings have the ability to challenge and they didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Mike McCarthy should have challenged. There's a challenge Mike McCarthy should have had late in the game too. That was the drop that he should have had that everybody thought that wasn't a catch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That he could have challenged and everybody was surprised he didn't challenge.
Yeah. I think if you're talking about the touchdown drop from Devontae, I think that's the one.
No. It was the Vikings. It was a drop.
I see what you're saying. Got it.
And I can't remember. I think it was in the third quarter. It was there was a time where we were all like, why isn't he challenging? Like, you have it. Just
all
do
I
it.
Know, all I know is Geronimo Allison, all summer long, people were like, who's the number three wide receiver? Who's the number three wide receiver? There's no question. Geronimo Allison is your number three wide receiver. I mean, he's
been
rocks.
Well, and something else about the wide receivers that you've seen in the last two games is that by taking away an old crutch of Aaron Rodgers, you open up youth and upside, and you force him to go to other players.
And
you're seeing that.
This is obviously an extreme example, but it's similar in the sense of it reminds me of when Sterling Sharp was not available to Brett Favre, and suddenly Favre had to see the field.
Mm-hmm.
You were absolutely forced to because your security blanket is no longer there. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're seeing, what you're talking about with Rodgers. Like, yeah, there were so many third downs, so many spots in the red zone where I got to find Jordy, or I'm going to find Jordy. I'm going to throw it. It's predetermined I'm going to throw it to Jordy.
Yep.
That's all gone.
And you
now.
Still see that happening with Devontae, but they're hot reads. Devontae,
but
they're hot reads.
Nowhere near.
He's looking for Cobb a lot more than he ever has, right?
100%.
And 100%. Cobb is a we're going to see some things from Cobb this year as long as he can stay healthy that are going to. We've already seen things that the win against the Bears is mind blowing, and some of those things he did in the game last week, they're pretty amazing. He's really, I think he's the most underrated player probably on our team.
And then I just want to give there's news today that we didn't touch in news, but it did happen earlier this afternoon after I wrote the script. Aaron Jones was activated officially. And, of course, all of fantasy Twitter is all up in my mentions wondering how much he's going to play. obviously, he's their most talented running back.
A lot.
Purely talent with the ball in his hand, no question. However, obviously, in this offense, especially with Aaron Rodgers playing on a gimpy leg,
yeah,
you know, Jamal Williams is not going anywhere, people. I don't know how to break it to you. I had somebody come up in my mentions like, can you believe McCarthy? Or not, can you believe, but do you have any, what do you think about McCarthy saying that, you know, Williams and Montgomery are going to be, you know, continue in the roles that they have and Jones will be kind of supplementing them? I'm like, yeah, I don't know what anybody expected. I think there's no doubt Jones is an electric talent, but you can't look at what Jamal Williams has done in pass protection and tell me you don't want him out there.
Well, right now, what do you think the ranking is on pass pro for the three of them?
Oh, it's, I mean, it's Jamal Williams by and
but Ty Montgomery has gotten better.
Ty's gotten better, but the thing is I think Aaron Jones has gotten better.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I think whoever
Jones looked good in the summer.
To your point, it's two things. It's who's the most electric and who wins that battle the best. Who can protect Aaron with the most looks and with the who can get on the same page with Aaron?
Who are you going to count? Who are you counting on?
Yeah.
To make sure that if an exotic blitz comes or if some kind of something breaks free and you've got to have one guy in there to make sure that dude don't get into Aaron. Yeah, I want Jamal Williams out there.
Yeah.
Like zero question.
Yeah.
Zero question. Now, I get it. Like Aaron Jones is electric. He is absolute fire with the ball in his hand. And I want to see it just as much as everybody else. But he has to prove it on the field in the sense that if it's third and four and Rodgers and there's a run call or there's, you know, whatever call, and Rodgers adjusts and he changes the protection, Corey Linsley changes the protection, they got to be able to know 100% lock solid that Jones is going to be where he's supposed to be, and he's going to be able to, he's not going to be overwhelmed by a blitzing linebacker. Like, that all has to be, like, he's got to prove it all over again.
Yeah.
And I know he looked good down the stretch last year, but that was last year. This is, you know, 2018, here we go, we're 1-0-1. You got to get on board. The train's already left the station, and you got to jump on board in the middle of it, you know? People want to, like, pretend like this is Madden. Like, you can just insert him into the lineup and go.
Yeah.
Don't work like that.
No.
Does not work like that.
Nope.
And finally, on the offensive tip, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Justin McCray because I thought he caught an unnecessary amount of grief for the way he started the Bears game with the two penalties. People were just dogging this guy, like, left and right. And then he actually played pretty well in the second half, and no one talked about it. And I thought he had a pretty good game. There are clearly times where he was overmatched against the Vikings. They have an amazing front.
Yeah.
But, yo, for a kid that – you know, basically was a hotel worker 2.5 years ago and is now a starting guard in the NFL and playing at a high level against the best probably defensive front in the game against in Minnesota, the Vikings. I thought he played a hell of a game.
Well, and where do the Redskins' defensive front rank?
Well, they're good.
They have the number one defense, right?
The number one defense after two. Slow down.
Oh, what? You don't.
I think they have a good front, but it's not the Vikings' front.
Wait, what about team rankings, though?
No. Oh, you mean power rankings? Yeah, I went on my little rant about that in Packers Daily yesterday. I can't.
Power rankings have always been funny. Power rankings are funny in the same way that every single person who wants to be a reporter wants to be a beat writer.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Here's the thing. There was a time when power rankings were worth something. It was when only one man did them, and that was Paul Zimmerman, Dr. Z for Sports Illustrated. His power rankings were the power rankings, and they were all that mattered. And, like, I knew, like, every week when they were coming out, it was the first thing I would read. Everyone I knew who followed the NFL, everyone I knew in the NFL, people would say, like, where are we on Dr. Z's rankings? Like, everybody read them. And whether you agreed with them or not, like, they were the power rankings.
Right.
Now everybody's got a power ranking.
Yeah.
And now they're worth shit. Like, it's they're not worth anything.
It's true.
So, you know, that's my thing on power rankings. They're just not worth the time.
So you're saying you'll never do power rankings?
I did my power rankings.
What are your
number
power
one, rankings? Green Bay Packers, 2 through 32, everybody else.
I like that. Are you slowly turning into me?
Yeah, something like that.
That's very weird.
Oh, God help us all.
I can't believe
that's what
you
we
put,
need.
I can't
two
believe
Bankies
you,
running around.
I can't believe you put Packers number one at anything. I'm so surprised.
Hey man, I call it like I see
I'm
it, but I'm still.
I'm aghast.
All right. Let's get to the defense.
Okay.
All right. Here's a question. Here's a quandary. Here's a preponderance of the evidence that I have before me. How the hell does anyone play defense in the NFL these days? How do you do it? How do you do it at the safety position? How do you do it as a pass rusher? How do you do it as someone who's just trying to make a tackle, to make a living, to put some bread on the table for your kids? How do you play defense in the NFL today? I get it. You want points. You want people scoring. You don't want your quarterbacks hurt. The pretty boys. Oh, my God. He may get a hangnail. How do you play defense in the NFL today? If this is what they want, just give them flags. Give the quarterback.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Give them flags.
It's going to happen. They're going to put a red shirt on them.
Everybody else, you'll hit them to the bed. And that's the other thing. People coming up in my mentions talking about player safety. Get the fuck out of here with that. Yeah. Are you kidding me? A player safety? The hit on Kirk Cousins was a player safety issue? My daughter has tackled me harder than that. Give me a break.
Well, and the doubling down, it's like...
Yes, of course.
You know, it's almost like... It's like the rules would make more sense if Skip Bayless was in charge of them. You'd have more consistency.
You'd have more consistency. That's the scary part. That's the scary part.
And it's really scary when people like, you know, reasonable minds like Jason Wildes and Rob Domofsky's of the world are like, hey, asking the NFL, what about this? What about this? Right. And then they're going to... It's almost mind-blowing to think that they're going to send that video of Clay Matthews
video.
And they're going to go, do that. That is a penalty. And if you do that, it's a penalty. Don't do that.
It just blows my mind. And I pointed this out on Twitter.
It's kind of crazy.
I'll say it here. This, you know, the NFL sends the officials to every training camp. They send a group of officials, a crew, to every single training camp. And in Green Bay this summer, I was there for the presentation, and we get to ask questions. And, of course, at the time, it was all about the helmet penalty, the helmet rule. But we did, because that afternoon, it had broke that in Minnesota, they had talked about how what Anthony Barr did last year to Aaron Rodgers would be a penalty this year because he put his full weight on the quarterback, which is not what Clay Matthews did. And then Terry McAuley said afterwards that wasn't the rule that he was citing. It was the scoop and pull. He scooped him up and drove him into the ground, which
he didn't.
Is not on the video.
Yeah.
Like, unless you have some CGI that I don't know about, that's not on the video. But, okay, so the NFL, then, when you're talking about doubling down, came out and said, yeah, we're sending that video as a what not to do tape because it features a scoop and pull. A, scoop and pull isn't on there. That's not what Matthews did at all. But B, when the officials talked to us this summer, they stressed the importance of the full body weight issue, like Barr did, which caused the injury. Never once did they mention scoop and pull or anything even close to it being illegal, which only goes to prove even further, as if any evidence was needed, that the NFL is making this as they go
along. Well, there's no doubt about that. And you know what? It's going to get worse because you realize that centralization has now been a thing, right?
Yeah.
So centralization of the ref feeds goes to New York. So I think you're actually going to get more inconsistency, right? Because over time, what they're going to do is they're going to take away the power of the game from the referee on the field and put it in the hands of a remote god at New York, right?
Al Riveron was terrible.
And that remote god, and now you're getting even closer to collusion with sports betting kind of stuff. Yeah. Because what is the game, right? It's like literally the only thing the NFL can't control is an interception or a sack.
Yeah.
And the only way to control that is to have the rules be completely confusing, right?
Yep.
It really, you know,
I
hate this because people are going to say I'm a homer and I am a homer and this show is about being
a little homer. Get out of here.
I know they're going to say that, but I don't know. You know, my other problem is Mike Golic.
Yeah, but wait. I love Golic's rant. But here's the thing.
But he is the only person from a major network that has a license with the NFL to broadcast games that's actually challenging the status quo.
Wait a second. Time out. I would add Rich Eisen into that mix because Eisen's been on the side of the right and good here.
Yes, okay, I'll add Rich Eisen, but Eisen's I won't add Chris Collinsworth.
Oh, no.
I won't add...
NBC was atrocious. That night, Sunday night, holy cow, I tweeted out. Like, they either have footage that's not available to the rest of the public, or they got a call from the NFL with talking points of this is what you're going to say.
Which is ridiculous. You're the ones that pay the NFL for the license.
Exactly. I just...
You're in the driver's seat.
It just blew my mind. The whole thing just blew my mind.
I mean,
it
blows everybody's mind. I don't think there's anybody... It's almost... I mean, what do you do if you're a ref, too? It basically makes you... Anytime... Well, it's why Mike Daniels... Like, at first, when I saw the Mike Daniels thing, I was like, that's ridiculous. Right. And then the thing that happens to Clay, you're like, well, actually, it's not ridiculous.
It's not. Like you say, it perfectly proves it. That's why I put it up. That's why I made this video. Control room, I want to run the Mike Daniels video, because this is how the NFL expects you to sack the quarterback in 2018. This is it. This is what they're looking for. 100%. You wrap up, and then you let go.
But that should be a sack then.
Yeah, they should if, be, but that it should, isn't. If you put, because they want points.
They should put a flag on the back of a quarterback, like right where his number is. And if you grab the flag, you sacked him.
No, like Mike, to his eternal credit, the man is the myth and the legend. He's a friend of the show. He's been on the program. He retweeted that. Because I put up that video.
Yeah, I saw that.
I joked.
He had a lot of emoticons.
This is an instructional video from the NFL on how to sack the quarterback. And he retweeted it into his feed and like with like, you know, laughing emojis, etc. You know, respect to Mike Daniels, because he totally understands what a farce this is. Because the whole reason he holds up there is because, A, he thinks Cousins has gotten rid of the football.
He thinks he threw it. And
he thinks he throws it and he doesn't want to get a penalty. And he remembers last year against Detroit, their opening drive in Lambeau, third down, they're off the field, except Mike hit somebody late, and then they got a flag, and that extended the drive. Mike's trying to learn from his mistakes, and he gets penalized for it because the NFL can't have their pretty boy quarterbacks play football. And here's the thing. I'm going to try and end it on this whole roughing the passer BS that has just driven me insane, because I've had a lot of, like, new-ish fans, like, oh, they're changing the game for the better. Again, with this nonsense about player safety. Look, two things. Number one, no player, not a single man in the NFL has signed up for this league with any like ideas and or illusions about what they're doing out there. 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, guys could have been in the dark about the possible long-term ramifications of playing football. There is not a human man on the earth playing in the NFL who doesn't know, yes, there are possible major health implications for me down the road. Everybody knows this. So stop with the, oh, we got to make it safe. Clay Matthews made it as safe as possible for Kirk Cousins on that play.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, if you're going to make guys like just unable to play defense, just rip the Band-Aid off. Don't give me this piecemeal.
Yeah, that's what.
Don't give me this piecemeal. Oh, we're changing the game. And every offseason, we have another stupid rule revision or emphasis. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Get rid of the kickoff. Give the quarterbacks flags. Let's do it. Because this whole kind of edging towards it is just stupid and insults everyone's intelligence.
Well, I will say, I agree with all that. But to do the counterpoint, typically the quarterback is literally worth 100,000 times more than every other player on the field.
100%. 100%.
And, I hate to bring it back to money, but it's the NFL, so it's going to be about money.
We got some people in the chat talking about the safety position, and I want to talk about the safety position. It's a good thing. You guys are on script. You guys are better at following the script than Corey is. That's impressive. So... Kentrell Bryce, we mentioned the play earlier, clearly had a step back against the Vikings comparative to the Bears game where, you know, Mike McCarthy said he was the highest graded safety and the highest graded defensive player in that game. Had some missteps, the bomb to Diggs. He probably, you know, he's got to get over there for that. Why he's going after Treadwell in that play, I'll never know. Okay. And then people want to trade for Earl Thomas because the Seahawks are 0-2. I don't see the Packers doing that because then they're going to have to give Thomas a huge contract. I don't think he affects the game the way Khalil Mack does, which they were clearly willing to do. Just sign Eric Reed. I know they're never going to sign Eric Reed.
It's not going to happen.
But just sign Eric Reed. You can't tell me you're all about winning and then, you know, watch the suboptimal play from your safety position. And here's the thing. If Eric Reed comes in, he's not even taking Bryce's spot or Ha-Ha's spot, he's taking Whitehead's spot.
Yep.
You can be had for a song at this point, and you're upgrading the talent at the position. The overall talent level goes up. He's a better player than Josh Jones. There's zero doubt about that. He's a better player than anybody that they have currently. Like, just if I thought the idea was to win and be the best, and Eric Reed instantly improves your football team. But they won't do it because political reasons. And because
well, and what's funny is all they're doing is making a case for Kaepernick. Signing Reed, though, it helps Kaepernick. It helps both of them, right?
Yes.
Because absolutely. You could make an argument that 100%. That Kaepernick is not, you know, I don't know how you could, but I feel like you could somewhat make an argument that, like, you know, he's maybe not a starting quarterback anymore. I don't know how you could, but he had some downplay. It wasn't like he won a Super Bowl he slipped. But yeah, Eric Reed, that's hard.
He's still a player.
That's hard.
He's
that's
still
really
a player.
Hard. It's ridiculous.
Finally,
too.
I want to just check on special teams.
Oh my God.
Real quick, just for you, Corey Banky. How about J.K. Scott?
Oh my God.
J.K. Scott, weapon. He's a weapon. He had a 64-yard punt with no return.
In the first quarter.
That's pretty impressive.
It was impressive. I'm going to give him some props.
Ooh, wow, look at that.
Here's what's impressive. For the first time in probably our history, we turned field position over from behind the 20.
Yeah. Flip the script,
baby. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Weir turned to me because, of
That's
course,
what I've been talking about.
We have a streak right now, and I don't know if Weir's going to count the streak right now because we have a tie.
Oh, no.
So we might never see. So the thing about Weir is...
All right. This is Matt Weir, in case you're playing at home.
This is my buddy Matt Weir. So now we have to go to games together at home because we've won. Although I didn't.
Oh, I see. Right.
You know, we win the first one, so then we went again. We weren't going to. I wasn't going to go. So then I don't know how he feels about this whole tie thing. If that's a continuation, we didn't have a talk about it because we were both kind of like, let's start the bonfire. So if we go to see, so he actually was like, flip the script. He's really fun to go to a game with because it's almost like. He's like a play-by-play.
I've watched games with him at your house.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
Fun. That's
He's
a good time.
Like you and I, when we're watching together, we'll like say the poignant things that we think the other one's not thinking. And we'll see because we might be doing a live stream this weekend.
Holy cow. I was going to save it, but yeah.
We might do a, for
those of you watching and listening at home, you could geek out with Aaron and Corey on Sunday watching this.
Yeah, you can see how we watch a game.
We're going to watch the game. And we're going to broadcast us watching the game.
Maybe. We'll do it. We'll try it.
Why not?
But he's like, dude, he is like a play-by-play machine. Like, you don't say anything.
Right.
Like, I think I said two things. Besides, like, yelling on defense, I think I actually said two things to him. Because he's got all the nuggets. The radio in his ear. He's got the old radio that you can't buy anymore.
I know.
And he's got in his ear. It's got tape on it. It's got all scotch tape because it's all broken because it's, like, 8 years old. And he's, like, he'll say stuff because, like, Larrivee, because it's, you know, it's Wayne and Larry. And he'll be like, oh, he's out. Oh, he's out. And then I'll like check Twitter. It's like, dude, we're like the machine, dude. We're like in this thing.
I just remember we watched a Monday night game against the Chiefs a couple years ago at your pad here in New York. And Weir was just like that. Like, oh, well, they couldn't do that on third down because that guy got hurt. But they've done this like three times before this season. And they're going to do this. Like Weir is all over.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. So I just wanted to say,
so anyway,
J.K. Scott.
He said he flipped the script. Now, here's the thing about J.K. Scott. Okay. After that, what'd he do?
He punted a lot and did it well. He averaged like over 100 yards.
I'm going to say no on that.
I don't even know what average over 100 yards means, but I.
He averaged over 100
yards. He was awesome.
Oh, and what's the deal? While we're talking, look, I'm talking about special teams.
I'm impressed. Right.
Okay. What is the deal? Why couldn't Crosby kick it in the end zone? Vikings were kicking it in the end zone all day.
Yep.
Is that a choice or
yes,
is
for the most part, yeah.
Okay, what's a dumb choice?
They're asking him to kick it directly.
Okay, whoever's making that choice.
That would be Ron Zook.
Yeah, Ron Zook, stop, please, stop.
What was so funny?
It was
like,
bad.
You know, that great block for a touchdown and the punt, and like everyone was, and the television's like, Ron Zook special teams really coming through. And then the very next play, they kick the kickoff, and the Vikings get a great return. And Zook's over on the sideline, like hating life. And they're like, oh, Ron Zook special teams, real trouble area.
Like in today's NFL, I feel like you're overthinking it if you're not kicking it right
in the
end zone.
Just kick it out of the end zone. And the other thing is
just do it.
Here's the other thing. J.K. Scott kicked the kickoffs all summer long. Just have him do it because you know he can do it and you're saving Crosby's legs for field goals. Like, just have Scott kick it out of the end zone. Have him start on the 25. Like, this is not tough to me.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I don't like to question play calling, but like, really?
I do.
The Vikings are kicking it in the end zone, and they're winning. You're kicking it not in the end zone, and they're getting it past the 20.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably shouldn't do that.
I feel you. Okay, well, let's talk real quick about this matchup with the team in Washington, because... Oh.
We didn't even talk about this last time. Did you just add that?
That's why I've added it, because, like I said, we had some content issues.
I love how we've done this show for like 13 years, yeah. And we're like still learning how to write the script.
Well, it's just like you were in a remote last week, and that was just weird.
You were scared. You were scared it wouldn't work, weren't you?
I wasn't scared, but it really threw me off. Like, I don't like it when you're away. I like it when you're here.
Yeah,
like,
well, it's just nice to be at Lambeau.
Oh, no, I feel that. I totally hear you there. It was just.
I was fun, though.
It threw me off my game.
Oh,
so
next time we do it, though, I think...
Now I'll know, and now I got it. I just...
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's fun.
I agree.
I think it'd be fun to get a player to walk in the gate.
That would be hilarious. All of a sudden, like, Randall Cobb walks in the gate.
Yeah, I think...
What's
it would
up,
be,
Corey?
I think it would be awesome for a player to just walk in the gate and, like, tackle me and take my headset and then just start talking to you. Like, just...
I think everybody would be, like, the tackle.
Everybody
sufficient.
Would laugh. Yeah, they'd be, like, roughing the passer. That they could just like he could just like push me aside and then just start talking to you. That would be brilliant if they could happen every day. I would take bruises for that.
The Packers are favored by 3 points on the road against the team from Washington. I found that interesting. I also found it interesting that their home opener last week, they have an 80,000 seat stadium and they had about roughly a little over 50,000 people
that's
in
sad.
Attendance. And for the most part, they were booed off the field. So you know that on Sunday, there are going to be so many Packer fans at this game.
Yeah.
It is going to be, I'll bet, my guess right now is it'll be not quite 50-50, but it'll be 60-40.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be 40% Packer fans there.
I can see that.
That will happen.
Speaking of, there was a lot of purple at that game.
Oh, yes, there were.
Holy crap.
I had a number of people with the Packers text me and say, what do you think that's about? I'm sorry.
Why doesn't anybody from the Packers DM me? Why are they DMing you all the time?
Those are my sources from when I was on the beat, Corey.
You have sources?
Yeah, apparently.
Holy crap. You're like a real reporter.
No. I'm just a dude with a blog.
Look, and here's the thing.
It's the new norm.
Okay.
It's the new norm.
So Hodkowitz.
Get used to it.
Hodkowitz.
Because the Vikings are good now.
Hodkowitz tweets this thing like,
oh, boy.
Oh, the fans are doing go, Pack, go when we're on offense. Yeah, because people are going like this. Okay? So you see like
it's a response.
10,000 people doing that, right?
Yeah.
What? Okay, you tell me, okay? What's worse?
Oh, boy.
Okay?
All right.
A bunch of people not in rhythm doing this, okay? Or the call and response. So if you're Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yep.
Because,
you're trying to go.
You know how to be a quarterback.
319! 319!
You're hearing this.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That's really like convoluted and out of rhythm, arrhythmic.
Right.
Or you're like hearing, go, Pack, go. Go, Pack, go. Right? What would you rather hear?
Silence.
Obviously. But you just, it can't.
I know. I hear you.
You can't accept that.
You cannot allow it to occur.
You can't.
Dude, this aggression will not stand, man. I hear you.
Okay.
Hear you.
But here's the thing, right? These beat writers in their palaces,
their
glass towers.
Blogosphere is another segment away.
These beat writers in their glass palaces, right? Watching the game from their drinking their wine and eating their cheese.
God, I wish
right?
I was in the press box. That would be great.
Right?
Yeah.
They're just sitting there going, what are these minions? Why are they speaking now? That is unacceptable. Well, you know what? You gotta try to be out there.
You gotta show some passion.
You gotta be with the fans to know what they do. And I know that's hard because you think we're all weird, so
I love it. Old school enemy facing the Packers this week in one Adrian Peterson.
Oh, dear. He still plays?
Peterson. Mr. Peterson. Mm. Yeah. He didn't. He looked okay week one. Didn't look so good last week.
Is he like 45?
He's 100 years old.
Oh, okay.
Chris Thompson, their other back, he's the worry. He's the danger. He's a really talented back. And, of course, they have Alex Smith, who last year... This is crazy because Alex Smith has always been known as, captain check down. If you need, if it's third and nine, you need 9 yards, he'll get you eight. You know, that's kind of who he is. But last year with the Chiefs, he was the number one deep passer in the NFL. like by every metric.
Yeah, every Chiefs game I saw, he looked pretty
good. He was amazing. But now he's like in the traditional West Coast, back to the traditional West Coast offense. Jay Gruden has him like doing tons of like bootlegs and stuff, and he's back to being Captain Checkdown. So, yeah, for me, this whole game comes down to the Packers being able to hold up with Jordan Reed. I don't worry about like Jair Alexander and Tremont Williams. I don't worry about them on the outside with the wide receivers. I do worry about Jordan Reed, their tight end, and even Vernon Davis, even though he's older. The two tight ends, to me, are what present the biggest problem for the Packers.
We never really talked about Jair Alexander. It's kind of amazing.
He's a player.
It's kind of ridiculously amazing how good he is right now.
He's good. He's good. He's only going to get better. That's the other. That's the best thing.
You know, I wish we had three of him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's only going to get better. And that's what I mean. I wrote it right after the in my gut reactions after the Vikings game. He's a player. You know, sometimes you look at a guy and you're like, yep, they got a player there. Like, he's a player. There's zero doubt about it.
Why couldn't we do that in like 2015, 2016, and 2017?
It'd have been nice, right?
Then we'd have three players right now.
Well, they have another player in Josh Jackson, but they didn't have him on the field when Devon House got burned for a 75-yard touchdown. For whatever reason, I guess we'll never know. Also, as Corey alluded to earlier, Washington has the number one defense in the NFL.
After 2 weeks.
So prepare for the Packers to decimate the number one defense in the NFL, because the Packers are going to win this game, and they're going to score a lot of points doing it. That's all. That's my prediction.
Well, I think it depends. I think Mike McCarthy came out of that Vikings game, and it felt like he learned his lesson of not trying the like long stuff right away, short, kind of
getting to the quick game.
Playing the quick game, right? Yeah. Like, can we just finally adopt that?
Yeah, right.
Can we just stop?
I know.
He never, can't wait.
It's never going to be 100%.
No. Because he can't wait. Yep. It's almost like he's like, okay, I'll do this for a bit. I'll do this, but I really want to do this.
You just described Mike McCarthy's offensive philosophy to a T.
It's like no matter what they're giving him.
I hear you. All right, it's that time. It's that time, Banky. It is that time. You know what time it is.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, people. I don't know if they're ready to do it.
Sounds like they're.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series.
My favorite part is the bass. It's like, do, 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 do. It's good stuff.
I just wanted to give a shout out. You know, that's what we do. Either we are taking people to task or we're giving them a shout out. I want to give a shout out to the OGs.
The OG.
The originators. I mean, I'm sure maybe one or two people were doing it before these guys, but
no,
you
want
to go back.
No, not for the Packers.
OG Packer podcast. Check out Packers Therapy. I'm telling you, Chris and Dave are back. They took a hiatus, but they're back. They are the OGs.
We like copy them. They took a hiatus, then we took a hiatus.
I mean, they are so good at what they do. Here's the thing. Like, they're as homerish as we are. They are Packer fans. There's no doubt about it. But listen to their latest podcast, because they talk about a lot of the same things we talk about.
But it's more interesting.
And better reasoned and more intelligent. And it's just, those guys are so good. They talked about the Clay Matthews hit in just great. It was so well done. Like, it's so smart, and they're so on top of it all. Like, it's so good. It's everything I wish I could be. Like, they're so good. They're so good. But I get all pissed and I get all emotional. Like, they're just great. I wanted to give a shout out. Packers.
Yeah, they're like the NPR version for Packers fans. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
We're like the wannabe Howard Stern version.
TMZ.
Yeah, we're the TMZ version.
We always said we were Wayne's World of Packer fans.
Yeah, Wayne's World. We're somewhere between Wayne's World, TMZ, and Howard
Wayne's
Stern.
Wayne's World with a budget at this point. I mean, that's what it appears anyway. And the other thing, you got to talk about it because it happened earlier this afternoon. And we're nothing if not on the pulse of everything going on in Packers blogosphere, Twitter sphere, whatever. Rob Domofsky puts Jimmy Graham on blast
Rob.
For not talking to the media.
Rob's getting big time. Rob is getting big time.
I mean,
he's so big time. He's like, I'm going to go on TV right now.
Star.
He looked, actually, he is a TV star.
He is, I know.
Like, when I saw him before the game on ESPN at Lambeau, I was like, holy crap. This man is looking good.
He's a TV star, man. I'm telling
he's
you.
He's like made for television.
I tell you what, though. The funny part was like, after, so Rob put out this tweet. And of course, it has this extended link crap that you got to go to ESPN.com.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as a service to Packer fans everywhere, I just, you know, made a screenshot and put it up on my Twitter account, because, you know, screw that extra.
Well, why don't you do that with your subscription to Bob McGinn?
I probably should, actually. That's a really good idea.
Maybe we should just repost.
Could you imagine?
What if we just reposted Bob McGinn's blog?
Stuff. Oh God.
No.
Why didn't I think of that before?
Stop. All right, stop. We're getting off track.
Sorry.
So Rob puts Jimmy Graham on blast for he hasn't talked to the media since July 28th. I don't know if you know this, but it is September 19th.
Wow.
So that's a long time.
So how much much in fines is that?
Well, it's $10,000 a week during the regular season.
Oof.
And
what about training camp, though?
It's not training camp. It doesn't hold.
And it's not from the team. It's from the NFL, right?
NFL
media.
It's part of the CBA. The union signs off on
it. But it doesn't start till the season.
But week one, you
got to. So right now, he's 20 grand in the hole.
You are required. Yeah, I don't know if he can count telling Rob that he's not going to talk to them as talking to them. But so Rob puts this up there on Twitter, and then Jimmy Graham comes back to him and says something akin to,
if
you're
going
to tag me, drop a pair. If you're going to talk about me, drop a pair and tag me.
Oh.
And then everybody, and this is the thing.
Right. I didn't see that part. I saw Rob. I saw the tweet you had, but I didn't see the Jimmy Graham response.
Here's the thing.
That's good stuff.
Rob has every right to say, yo, this guy's not talking to us. And
yeah, but he should add him.
He should add him. Rob's response was, our mechanism of Twitter and ESPN.com posting at the same time doesn't allow us to include handles.
Holy
on,
wonky
Rob.
Answer, Batman.
Come on, Rob. Just underneath that tweet, put his handle. Like that's a lame excuse. Like, just say what I always say. Whenever I talk about anybody on the team, almost always, not always, because sometimes their name will come up and I'll just put it in there.
Yeah.
Predict whatever.
Yeah.
But I used to do that, but now it's like everyone's a Twitter snitch. So you know.
Yeah.
Whatever you say, good or bad, like I put up Jamal Williams as a boss in pass protection the other day on my Twitter account.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it got retweeted, blah, blah, and everyone tagged Jamal Williams. That's fine. I wasn't looking for him to say, oh, look, I'm talking good about you.
Right.
But like, okay, I know you're going to do it. If I say Aaron Rodgers missed this read, everyone's going to tag Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Oh, look, he's talking bad about you. So look, y'all want to be Twitter snitches? Fine, be Twitter snitches. That's your life. You know, live with the choices you're making.
Yeah.
My choice is to allow you to do the work. And that's what people did. But I did think it was funny. Because, you know, as a member of the media, you know no one gives a crap. No one gives a crap. Like, oh, this guy won't talk to me. Nobody cares. Except for people in the media.
Yeah.
Those are the only people who care.
Yeah.
And there are a few, like, random souls out there who are like, well, that seems odd. Like, he's paid millions of dollars to play football. The least he could do is answer a few questions. And I get the questions can be stupid.
Yeah.
Like, in those scrums, some of those questions are ridiculously dumb.
Well, and the Green Bay beat is a unique bubble of all of them. And that's not them. That's not the people. It has to do with kind of the town itself, right. Where it is, geographics, everything, right? Yeah. It's a unique bubble.
Yes, it is. It is.
It's bubbly.
And I had a lot of people in my Twitter feed saying, well, you know, they get asked some of the dumbest questions. I'm like, yeah, I get it. But the TV people are generating quotes for their news stories. I get that, right? The beat guys who write are trying to get answers usually a little more granular, a little more specific.
So they can write articles.
They can write their articles.
Yeah.
Everyone's there doing a job.
Yeah.
Right? And you being a douche about it, you know, that just, it reflects much more on you
than
it does anyone asking a stupid question. And yeah, there are a lot of stupid questions. But guess what? They're there being professional, trying to do their job. And you are on purpose making it more difficult and not being professional.
Yeah, but
it reflects more on you.
Yeah, it does. I like the way Aaron Rodgers, you watch him, what I like about him, and not everybody can do this, like I couldn't do this, right. but like he'll literally look at them and be like, yeah, I didn't say that. Like, because he knows his memory is so good.
Yep.
He literally knows the specific words, like whether he used about and to, like what propositions he uses. It's prepositions. It's ridiculous.
That reminds me. There was a time this past training camp where I asked Aaron a question in the scrum, that huge fucking scrum that's so annoying. But I was standing there, and Olive, my youngest daughter, didn't believe me. She was like, you asked Aaron Rodgers a question? I'm like, yeah, it's kind of my job. But she was like, no, you did. Like, she straight up didn't believe me. So I was like, look, there's video of it. So I played the video from Packers.com. You know, I go, well, look, here we go. Here's me asking Aaron a question. You can hear my voice, like, whatever. And Aaron is like looking at me like daggers. And then like when he hears my question, his face kind of goes, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. And he answers the question. But
yeah.
Olive said, my 10-year-old goes, oh wow, he was ready to hate you. I said, no, that's kind of how he is. He's like, he wants to find out if you're asking a stupid question or not.
Which
and he'll answer.
Most people are.
And he'll answer accordingly. But he's ready for you and he's ready to like completely put you in your place if you ask something stupid. And that's fine. That's great. I love that. But
I mean, because
it's funny that she noticed it.
While we're dealing on wonky beat writers,
right?
The greatest question, and it's literally, if you actually listen to press conferences, is it always starts with, it's the laziest question, right? And it always starts with, tell me about.
Oh, no.
Tell us about.
Or talk about.
Talk about.
Yeah.
Talk about the play where you sucked. Talk about the time you broke your leg. Like, it's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard. It's hard to ask questions. I mean, you look at the White House press briefings, not to get political, but that is the top of the game, right? As far as like asking questions and crafting.
Trying to get answers.
You're trying to get answers in public. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Politics aside. And you know, the Packers beat writer, the Packers press room is miles.
Well,
miles away from that.
There's a rhythm to it, right? Bill Huber asks the first question. He's like, he is the Helen Thomas of the Packers. You know, it's like, God bless him. I mean, I'll tell you, there is no worse day to be in that room than a day when Bill isn't there. Because then no one knows who the hell is going to ask the first question, and no one does it. Like, everyone pretends like, oh, I'm still sitting up, even though we've been sitting there for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, I'm not ready. Oh, I'm turning on my recorder. Is someone going to ask a question? Like, but with Bill, that's why I love Bill. Bill just goes, you know, Mike, what is the status for Aaron Jones this week? And then like you're off for the races. Like, but without Bill, nothing happens. And there's like literally dead air for a good minute until someone asks a question.
Well, it's funny. I remember the first time it was Packers shareholder meeting.
Oh, Jesus.
First time we got credentialed.
Wow.
And I'm with you in the press room.
That's a long time.
We're actually in the press room.
First time ever.
For the first time ever as Cheesehead TV.
Yep.
Right? It's like 2008, 9.
Yep.
I don't know. Somewhere
in
there.
Long time ago, yeah.
And I remember, like, I did not ask any questions. Because why? Just shut up, okay? So
at least you're self.
But you, yeah, I'm self-aware enough to realize. Just be quiet. You're lucky you're here. Aaron Popke's already gonna change his mind, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's literally like ready. He's
ready to kick.
He's ready to kick us out at any moment. God love him.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at you, and I don't remember what the question was, but I just could not believe the balls that it. Like I was like. I couldn't believe you were actually asking Ted Thompson like
a
question.
Right, right.
And like just the look and the daggers, like, you know, you could feel like
everyone
you
going,
could feel the,
what the hell is Nagler doing?
Yeah.
Here?
Who is this person? Why are they asking questions and how are they allowed to
there
do it?
There are though. There are those moments in the press room where all of a sudden somebody is like credentialed that maybe you weren't expecting or from another outlet or who just got hired in an outlet. And they ask a question that is so unlike the room.
Yeah, yeah,
like, because there's a rhythm.
Yeah,
every
week,
you know, this guy's going to ask that kind of question.
Yeah.
She's going to ask this question. Like, he's going to go there. Like, you know where everyone's angle is. And then all of a sudden, there's a new person in the room.
Yeah.
And they ask, well, how come you use that slide protection on there? And, like, you're not supposed to ask scheme questions and all that stuff. And Mike gets pissed. And you see it. Like, it gets all flushed. And it's like, it's great, though, because it's. Kind of
mixes it up. It actually changes it.
Absolutely.
And I know we have to end, but that goes to the bubble is, you know, there is the bubble inside the bubble is like when you get your name, Like,
oh, God.
When Mike
says your name.
When Mike says your name, yeah. or Goot says your name,
yeah.
or Aaron says your name,
right.
it's literally like there is a little chalkboard in Wes Hodkowitz's office at where he goes, oh, they said that name, and they're keeping right. track over time. It's like, yeah. it's like
who gets name checked?
Who got name checked the most?
Right. I got name checked once ever in my 2+ years on the beat. Mike said it like my first month there, which was, I got to admit, felt pretty good. Felt pretty good that he even knew who the hell I was.
So I just on an unofficial of me watching press conferences, I feel like it's neck and neck, Rob and Jason, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily. I mean, I think right now I would put Rob in the lead.
Yeah, I think Rob's in the lead right now.
Rob gets checked by both coach and the QB. So,
yeah.
Although I do like
well, he's ESPN, so even though Jason is too, he's more radio.
I will say, though, what I love about Rodgers is that he always calls Silverstein, he calls Tom Silverstein Spoon. Like his old school nickname.
That's
he always
good stuff.
Says, go ahead, Spoon. And like, I love that. That's it. Call him Spoon. That's who he is. You ready?
Yeah.
You down?
Yeah.
That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants, everyone. We'd like to thank everyone who connects with us all over the internet, wherever you are, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you are. Thank you so much. You guys are what makes this special. You're the reason we do it. It's a unique fan experience. Can't replicate it anywhere else on the online. I can tell you that. That's why Corey and I are here. It's why we do this. We are and will always be devoted to Packer fans worldwide.
Like it's honorable to take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?